This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday as we try to sort through things here. I'm still hurting. You're still hurting. That's life. I promise you we are going to get by. I promise you we're going to laugh a half hour from now when we do the crappiest country in the world tournament. And yes, we're going to talk about all these people getting fired and many other things, but we're not doing any more of that right now. Probably now more than ever, we need a Medal of Honor Monday. Every Monday at this time, we find an American hero who earned a Medal of Honor, and we honor them. We read their name, and we read their deeds, and we talk about heroism and fighting for the country and fighting for your fellow man. And it is really, really, really important now that we carry that message. I'm going to really stress this, because people, when they are afraid, and a lot of people are afraid, maybe you are afraid, they need someone who is courageous and bold. They will follow that person. Cowardice is contagious, and so is courage. Speak to your children about these men and their deeds. Speak to your office about it, your church, this is not political. You can get away with this anywhere. The fire department, police department, speak about these things. Learn about heroism and what people have done. Now is a time for people of courage to rise up. I got this email. Remember, we take email suggestions that they're welcome. There's a long backlog because this thing's gotten pretty popular, but email us. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, I'm a seventh grader at a school in Minnesota. That was last year, though. He's an eighth grader now. I would like you to read the Medal of Honor citation and play taps for Robert E. Fleming, who served in World War II and graduated from this school. And then he says, thanks, kid gloves, menu nerd, Baldy. Not very nice. Either way, Richard Eugene Fleming was born in St. Paul, Minnesota in 1917, United States Marine Corps Reserve. And what I'm about to read for you here took place in Midway. I want to remind you, I know this is basic, but a lot of people don't know basics. People wake up in their own time, that the Japanese, they didn't just beat us at Pearl Harbor. They thumped us in the Philippines. They were thumping everybody, the Brits, everybody. They were expanding rapidly, and they were on their way to Hawaii. Wrap your mind around that. The Japanese were coming to Hawaii, not for another Pearl Harbor bombing. They were coming to take it. We can't even wrap our minds around that now, but they were coming to take the Hawaiian Islands. And part of their plan was to ambush us at Midway. Well, take out Midway Island. And we, through our intelligence service, we were reading their mail. We pieced together enough information and figured out, wait a minute, there's a large force going to attack Midway, to ambush Midway. What if we ambush them? And so we assembled all these ships, all these aircraft carriers. But I want you to keep in mind, attacking ships in a plane is a very, very dangerous affair. Not only are they shooting at you, the ship itself, other planes are shooting at you. There are endless mechanical failures. It is something that can end up fatally. The pilots of World War II, all of them, but especially the Pacific pilots, should deserve your unending respect. It was a dangerous, dangerous job, and many of them didn't make it home. And our success at Midway, when we thumped the Japanese at Midway, it stopped that expansion. They never expanded again. From then on, we started to push back the tide. So, without further ado, Richard Eugene Fleming, United States Marine Corps.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
for extraordinary heroism and conspicuous intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty as Flight Officer, Marine Scout Bombing Squadron 241 during action against enemy Japanese forces in the Battle of Midway on the 4th and 5th of June 1942. When his squadron commander was shot down during the initial attack upon an enemy aircraft carrier, Captain Fleming led the remainder of the division with such fearless determination that he dived his own plane to the perilously low altitude of 400 feet before releasing his bomb. Although his craft was riddled by 179 hits in the blistering hail of fire that burst upon him from Japanese fighter guns and anti-aircraft batteries, he pulled out with only two minor wounds inflicted upon himself. On the night of 4th of June, when the squadron commander lost his way and became separated from the others, Captain Fleming brought his own plane in for a safe landing at its base despite hazardous weather conditions and total darkness. The following day, after less than 4 hours of sleep, he led the second division of his squadron in a coordinated glide bombing and dive bombing assault upon a Japanese battleship. Undeterred by a fateful approach glide during which his ship was struck and set afire, he grimly pressed home his attack to an altitude of 500 feet, released his bomb to score a near miss on the stern of his target, then crashed to the sea in flames. His dauntless perseverance and unyielding devotion to duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. Plane in flames, ready to blow up, or even worse, burn to death. And he continued on so he could drop his bomb and try to land one last shot. Captain Fleming. Isn't it crazy how many of those names we don't know? You don't know, and I don't know. There were so many, and it was so long ago, but not just World War II, right? Any conflict. How many names of Iraq and Afghanistan? How many do you know? We did an event with Tunnel to Towers one time. I did an event with Tunnel to Towers in Washington, D.C., where it was all day long. And had a bunch of different speakers, but there weren't really speeches that I can remember. The entire day was reading every name of those who gave their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I remember as I was looking at my list before I went up there, I remember thinking to myself, I didn't know any of these names. People who gave their lives for this country, and I don't know their names. And it's really, really, really important that we talk about these people, that we honor their sacrifice and talk about them. That is part of how we are going to form a new generation, a better generation, better one than we are. That's the idea, right? That's the goal. And I'll tell you, I see a lot of the elements there from what I see in young people today. I see an opportunity for the next generation to be so much better than us, certainly better than me, but so much better than we are, and bolder and more willing to engage. We just have to keep bringing up these names. I love doing it, man. I'm telling you, I love doing it. It's become an obsession. Now on the weekends, I'll find myself scrolling through them, thinking about Monday, of course, but scrolling through them. And as you're scrolling through them, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that guy. I didn't know that name. I didn't know. It's wild. Anyway, I'm going to talk about a painful realization that may be new to you, something I've kind of been aware of for some time, but everyone wakes up in their own time, a painful realization about who you share a country with that is shocking a lot of people. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, I want to talk about preserving memories. You know, those pictures, that box of pictures, the baby album, the wedding album, the pictures on the wall, the home videos, it's really easy to think to yourself, they'll always be there. I know when we got our box from Legacy Box and Ob started going through old boxes of things, it wasn't just hard copy pictures. She started finding old VHS tapes of her gymnastics meets with her parents when she was a kid. That stuff was fading away and lost. Now it's digitized forever. Forever. Our kids' kids will get to watch Ob do gymnastics when she was a teenager. How insanely cool is that? That's the gift Legacy Box gives us. You send them your stuff. They hand digitize it. And then they send you your stuff back and you have your stuff forever. No matter the flood, no matter the fire, no matter the time, forever. Those pictures are more important than your car. Those are memories. Keep them forever with Legacy Box. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I almost messed up my own name. Only 10 minutes away from the crappiest country in the world tournament. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before we get to the people getting fired and things like that, I forgot to tell you, Chris, Corey, during the break, I have some good news and I have some bad news for you. You know how I told you we all got together on Saturday night? And everybody had to prepare a dish. Good news is, I smoked a brisket for 21 hours. It was perfection. I brought it to the party. It's better than you can imagine. Bad news is, they finished it all, so there's none left to bring you guys. Sorry. What? What? I said it was good news and bad news. I'm sorry, but wait. There's more. Wait, there's more. Ob, her contribution was her homemade oatmeal cream pies. Obviously, they were a huge hit. And she made so many this time that we do have a bunch left over. And she just texted me during the break, you need to bring some leftovers for Chris and Corey tomorrow. But bad news is, I already told her no. So look, it's a yin and yang thing. Everything can't be perfect, all right? Just, I want you to know, the brisket that you didn't get to have any of was so good. So that's not very nice, Chris. It was just juicy. And I mean, I guess I shouldn't try to put it into words because you really had to be there. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. Sorry you guys don't get to find out about that. Anyway, I'm sorry you are finding out that we have monsters all over our country. I get all these emails. Jesse, I want a national divorce. I want it now. We cannot live together. Jesse, I think it's a good thing teachers, nurses, and members of the military are getting fired for celebrating Charlie's assassination. But these people aren't going anywhere. They still live in our communities. They still believe that. Firing them doesn't feel like it's going to do anything. Just make them more angry. Again, I fully support it. What happens next? And so, look, I know you've seen the headlines, and I know that from what I've heard from people, from talking to people, the Democrat response is as heartbreaking as the assassination itself. People are mortified, not just at the assassination, but Democrats everywhere. Headline, professors defend Charlie Kirk assassination on Blue Sky. It's a social media platform. UCLA places race and equity director who celebrated Charlie Kirk assassination on leave. FEMA employee fired. Military colonel suspended. Headline, at least a dozen faculty and staff have faced fallout over, they called it, insensitive comments. Headline, man arrested for sickening act at Charlie Kirk Memorial outside of Turning Point headquarters in Phoenix. He went and started kicking over flowers and things like that. Headline, hospital fires healthcare worker for controversial social media post. You know, they always try to really fluff up what these posts were. These were all posts saying some version of this. Either A, I'm glad he got shot, I'm thrilled. Or B, you know, he really kind of had it coming. You see that a lot. He kind of had it coming. I mean, he kind of, you know, well, look, here's a great version. This was MSNBC.
The reason that he is seen as a divisive figure is, and why the left has had a reaction as well in this, is because he has been known to make racist statements, to say that, you know, if he were to see a black pilot, he wouldn't necessarily trust their ability to fly a plane. He has also said that it was a mistake to pass the Civil Rights Act, and has definitely...
He had it coming, you see. It's been everywhere. The responses from Democrats have ranged to outright celebration, to, well, maybe not celebrating, but he kind of deserved it, to, oh, I mean, it's kind of good that he's gone. I don't love that it happened, but it's good that he's gone. You've seen it. And it's not one or two, it's the Democrat in your life. You know one. The emails have filled the inbox with, Jesse, I cannot believe what my sister just said. Jesse, that was a member of my church group. Jesse, I can't believe. Jesse, you have told me your personal stories of the Democrat in your life, either cheering for it or being kind of okay with it or justifying it, kind of had it coming. And what this has done is it's brought about a sadness for a lot of people who didn't quite realize where we were. And everyone wakes up in their own time with their own experiences. If you listen to this show, you know I've told you what these people are for a very long time. I'm not surprised in the least, not a little bit. But I understand the lies people tell themselves. You tell yourself the lie of, okay, well, there's one crazy communist out there. Okay, there's a few, but it's not all of them. All right, well, I mean, it's maybe half, but half are still really good people. Well, it's just the people on the media. It's just the politicians. No. It is the comfortable majority of registered Democrats in this country. That is a fact. Every poll shows it. The majority either cheer for violence, they're okay with violence, will commit acts of violence, a violent place to be. And I know that has saddened you. But after we do our crappiest country in the world thing, we'll talk about this more. I know you're sad, but what you're going through right now is healthy. And I'll explain after we do our crappiest country in the world. And after I talk to you about rough greens, today's a day that's really hard for Fred. It's not that Fred has days that aren't hard. Everything seems to be stressful and saddening for that pathetic pile of fur. But today's extra bad because today he had to get groomed. Every now and then we have to groom him to keep his hair from getting matted. Now, you would probably think that's not a big deal because they're all in love with him and they all just love on him and snuggle with him the whole time and he essentially gets brushed. But for Fred, it's a traumatic event, and he sits in the corner whimpering for the rest of the day as if he's just spent time in a North Vietnamese prison camp. I don't know how to explain it, but this was always the day where he would have digestive problems. No more. He still does the whimpering without the puking, thanks to Rough Greens. Rough Greens has probiotics your dog needs, vitamins and minerals your dog needs. You want a shinier coat, better breath, fewer trips to the vet. Do you want a healthier dog that lives longer? Start sprinkling Rough Greens on your dog's food. It is the key to a longer, healthier life. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It has already been quite a Monday as we still sift through all the rubble here and talking about this and that. We already did Medal of Honor Monday a half hour ago, but it's time to take a break on the heaviness and take a break on the emails. And since we need a break because we have something critically important to do, the Tournament of Tournaments. The crappiest country in the world tournament. It will not stop. It cannot stop until you and me, until we dig in and we figure out what is the crappiest country on earth. And we have another, this is our second All Africa matchup tonight. Niger squares off against, I gotta be honest, early favorite, Somalia.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between Somalia and Niger. Brought to you by Alphabet Plungers. Use both ends.
First, we're going to go to Niger, and something I would highly recommend you never do. Remember the four levels of State Department warning? Niger comes in at a level 3, but actually that's not entirely fair because regions of Niger are level 4, meaning don't travel there for any reason. You will die. No one's coming to rescue you. Now that begs the question, of course, which regions? Oh, I'm glad you asked. All the border regions. That's not great, considering Niger borders 7 countries. Essentially, the whole place is level 4 with a tiny sliver of level 3, where you only have to worry about crime, terrorism, and of course, kidnapping. Armed robbery seems to be a real specialty there. And in case you're wondering if it's got kind of a Mexico thing where the bad guys avoid the touristy areas, in fact, it's quite the opposite. They focus on the touristy areas. So you might just have a dessert of kidnapping with your continental breakfast at the Holiday Inn. I should also note, if you do choose to travel there, this one's a little bit unique. You have to be vaccinated for several things, including yellow fever, which probably would have helped out Eric Swalwell. Part of the reason the country is such a disaster is, you remember how I said they border 7 countries? Yeah, they apparently routinely take in refugees against their will from all 7 countries. Not only are they starving to death, 20% of the people don't even have enough food to live through the day. More people are coming in every day, 45% of the country living in extreme poverty. It's a little rough in Niger. But that brings us to, I don't want to handicap anything. I don't want to make predictions. I don't want to taint the vote, if you will. But that brings us to Somalia. And I've got to be honest, I don't know which way this tournament's going to go. It's up to you, not me, for the most part. But Somalia has to be considered a favorite, certainly a number one seed, to win the entire thing. Niger, that dump we just talked about, squared off against Somalia. And remember, you get to vote on this. It's on the show's Jesse Kelly Show Twitter page. Somalia got 90% of the vote, which is oddly ironic because whichever warlord currently has the most guns in Somalia usually gets 90% of the vote. Somalia, the entire thing, is level 4. You know, run-of-the-mill crimes we've gotten used to by now. Crime, terrorism, kidnapping. By the way, terrorism is a little bit deeper and more embedded in Somalia. We're talking car bombs, suicide vests. Don't think just because it seems peaceful it is. That Subaru Outback might not be driven by a lesbian, might actually be driven by a Muslim extremist getting ready to set off that nail bomb in front of you and your family. Somalia also mixes in a healthy dose of piracy, which is well known by now. Horn of Africa, a bunch of dirt balls with AK-47s driving up the ships, killing everybody, doing the standard pirate thing. Somalia is so severe, the risk of kidnapping or death is so high, they actually advise that you scrub your social media account completely if you ever visit there. Why, you ask? Because when you get kidnapped, which is almost inevitable, the group who kidnaps you is probably going to peruse your Instagram account, and if they see a woman showing her shoulders, she's probably going to get her head cut off. Female genital mutilation might be the most disgusting practice I have ever heard about. I will not explain it on this show because there are children listening. Just know it's actually worse than you imagine. It happens in Somalia, but bad things happen everywhere, of course. The question is, how prevalent is it? I'm glad you asked. It's 99%. 70% of Somalia lives in extreme poverty. The country is run by warlords and terrorists. The only good news I have out of Somalia is so many of the bad people have left Somalia. Of course, the bad news is they're all now in Minneapolis. The victor today, to be honest, it wasn't even close. Somalia. I should note, tomorrow, I don't think it's going to be close. South Sudan is taking on France. Okay, I guess we'll see. All right, so before we get back into the sad place where you are about realizing you're surrounded by a bunch of monsters, we'll again talk about why we got there and how to deal with that sadness. It's actually healthy where you're at right now. It's healthy. I know it hurts, but it's healthy. It's a lot of things like that. I wanted to update you on something. It's Megyn Kelly. You know Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly is doing a speaking tour. Very similar. Look, a lot of people do these speaking tours where she's going from city to city and she has a guest or two or three, I don't know how many, and they go up on stage with her and they'll just have a political discussion. It'll be a big event. Bunch of great people will come together. On October 23rd, she's doing one in the Houston area. From what I understand, unless something's changed, Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr. is her featured guest, which I like Don. I like him a lot. We get along. I'm going to be there, too, as a speaker. And I know that word has already gotten out about that, and people are worried. I get a lot of emails of, I'm worried because I'm keep your head down, be safe. Or I've gotten a bunch of, don't do it. We can't afford to lose you, too. I want you to come. If you can, if it's feasible. I know not everyone's around Houston. Most people are not. Or if you are, you know, maybe it's expensive. Or maybe you want to come in from out of town. It's too expensive. I get all those things, but no, we do not hide at home. We do not shy away just because there are people who want to kill us. Now is the time to go to more events than you ever have before. And I know that we are in an elevated threat environment. I know. Bomb planted under Fox News vehicle. The suspects are nabbed in Salt Lake City. A Fox News vehicle was there covering the murder, Charlie Kirk's assassination. A couple dudes tried to blow it up. We are in an elevated threat environment. And there will be more casualties. I want you to know that. I know that. There will be more. Demons are not tired, and they're not giving up. There will be more. We have to stand up louder and larger than we ever have before. Our greatest weapon right now is courage. If you are considering political events, go. Take your children. I know that can be intimidating. Go. If it's not this March or October 23rd thing for Megyn Kelly, go to something else. It doesn't have to be with me, for me. Go. Be bold. Show them we are unafraid, all right? And I do hope we are going to be able to pull off this Utah thing I'm in wanting to do. I don't know if it's going to work logistically. I'm trying, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to go back to talking about the people surrounding us. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we're going to get to your emails here in a few. I just wanted to, in fact, you know what? We're going to break after your emails and make fun of Kamala Harris in a couple things before we get back to this. I just wanted to address how sad people are at realizing that a lot of their Democrat friends are soulless evil monsters. Everybody gets to that point in their own time. And I know I get so many emails of, I don't want to live like this. We shouldn't have to live like this. I don't want to be okay with this. Well, sorry, but you don't get to live in the world you want to live in, and neither do I. That's not how it works. I don't wish it for you or me. I don't want to be here with this kind of poisonous hate. I don't want to be here where people like this go on the news and spread this filth.
The reason he was labeled a white supremacist is because he believed in the superiority of white people, which is why he said.
That's Jemele Hill. I don't want to live like that either. But we have to set aside this childish notion about the world we want to live in and accept the world we do live in. And I'm here to tell you, I know it doesn't feel like it right now if you're busy waking up. It does get easier. It gets easier when you just accept that there's evil around us. And remember, these people have been broken through years and years and years of conditioning. Years of conditioning. Now, they had a natural proclivity for it anyway. Probably a lack of belief in God, meaning there's no sanctity to human life. So they were, you know, they were essentially had addictive personalities and got introduced to alcohol. They were already susceptible to it. But then you consume this for 10, 20, 30 years, it takes away your respect for human life.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. Now, I never lived.
When I see ICE, I see slave patrols. That's Jasmine Crockett. How in the world could anybody become that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Allow me to introduce you to her pastor.
Have you thought about the fact that this week in Utah, a white Christian got killed by a white Christian? And then the next day, HBCUs were under threat. Now, how'd we get in it?
Poison. Lies and poison. And if you consume that poison for long enough, you'll find yourself one day watching someone be murdered and cheering for it and feeling like the good guy as you watch it. I know that's not what you want. But now that you realize where we are, then you can operate appropriately moving forward. Think of it like a house fire. If the stove catches on fire, that is one level of danger. Got to grab the baking soda, the fire extinguisher. Don't grab water. Grab the baking soda, the fire extinguisher, and put the thing out. We'll get by. Maybe we burn up the cupboards. Maybe some smoke damage. Possibly the fire department. We'll get by with a little drywall, a little paint. We'll call it good. If the entire downstairs is a raging inferno and we're upstairs, we're going to die if we don't get out the windows and out of the house, because the house probably cannot be saved and is going to burn to ash. The most dangerous thing in the world is not that there's a fire downstairs. The most dangerous thing in the world is thinking it's just a tiny fire on the stove and operating in that way. Yesterday, last week, 2 weeks ago, if you didn't realize we were dealing with prevalent evil, you were in danger because you didn't understand how bad the fire had gotten. I know it's ugly, but feel good about the fact you are much more aware now than you were last week. There can be, look, it's not exactly hidden out there. Now, courtesy of social media, they all put their thoughts out publicly as loudly as possible. Now we see. We see that we have an enemy who is committed to his evil things, not sorry for them in the least at all. people who think you deserve it and I deserve
it. He said a lot of things that got a lot of people riled up, right? And that's part of his, that was part of his style about race, about gender, about affirmative action.
Hey, he said some stuff that got people riled up. Kind of had it coming. They think the exact same thing about you. The exact same thing. That sucks, but it gives you and me an opportunity to operate in the elevated threat environment we are in. Now, we are going to change the subject. At least I'm going to try to. I'm going to do some emails, and then we're going to make fun of Dome because there's just a hilarious thing that no one's paying attention to right now. There's a hilarious thing going on between Dome and the Biden camp, and I am enjoying it immensely, immensely. I will just say it's just a little preview for it. There are a million reasons you don't hire a communist. You don't make a DEI hire. There are a bunch of very good reasons you don't do it. But maybe the best reason is they're never going to be grateful for it. I hope you don't think you're going to bring in that filthy communist and you're going to get some level of grace or gratitude. That's not how they operate at all. At all. One guy wrote in and he said, what did he say? 2016, his buddy lost his job, got kicked out of his house, and he let the guy come stay with him in his house. Later on that year, his buddy refused to talk to him because he wouldn't get vaccinated or something along the, because it wasn't vaccinated. It was something else in 16. Voted for Obama or didn't vote for Obama. It was something. I forget what it was, but purged him out of his life. You're not dealing with people who have the ability to have gratitude. That's what part of what makes them communists. One of the best ways to inoculate your children, as I've told you many times before, is simply teach them gratitude. Be grateful. I ask my kids as often as possible. In fact, I need to do that again tonight. What are you grateful for? An attitude of gratitude is one of the greatest vaccinations against communism. They don't have it. Dome gives us a great example. Next, after emails. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.